guys' favorite DJ, DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce. This is Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. How's everybody doing today? We're going to have a great show talking about the NBA preseason, which is just tipped off. For those NBA lovers like myself, you guys are juiced right now. You guys are happy. Games are going. Not watching baseball. Sorry, baseball fans. And it's going good. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about the scores, highlight key players, what this means for the NBA, who's doing well, who's doing what. Also going to be talking about LeBron James' statement on Hillary Clinton, which is kind of an out of the ordinary. You don't really see NBA players doing that, maybe in this day and age with all the controversy going on. You know what that means for him and in the NBA itself. Also talking about Joel Embiid and his return. Very, very, people are waiting to see what he has to do. And then we're going to be talking about Harry Giles and his unfortunate knee injury. Finishing up with your favorite Dominican Penguins and the March Madness approaching and what to expect there. So let's start off with the show. NBA preseason just tipped off on October 1st. Pretty big deal. You know, fans haven't been seeing NBA games since the last finals. For your true fans like myself, you know, we're watching basketball, YouTube videos, some of the summer league stuff, Ball is Life, even high school games like the top 24 games and highlight shows. Now we can finally watch some professional basketball, which is good for you fans. For the first game on October 1st, we had the Warriors tip off. Big headlines on this because of Kevin Durant. Matter of fact, just because of him joining the Warriors, and people were anticipating to see what he was going to do against the Raptors. He didn't really have, a highlight performance. You know, he only played 19 minutes, 9 points. 4 rebounds, 4-for-4 free throws, lost by 4 to the Toronto Raptors. Should Warrior fans be nervous? I don't think so. You know, people tend to look too much into this preseason games. As I stated, he only played 19 minutes. 19 minutes for an NBA player is very low for a superstar like Kevin Durant himself. Very hard to go back and perform, you know, on a level of play that fans are expecting him to do with only 19 minutes. And Warrior fans shouldn't panic, you know. It's a preseason game. Coaches really don't care about these games at all. They just want their players to get out and show what they can kind of do and be on the court, be a presence, get used to the chemistry, know each other, know the game. It's all for helping, stepping stone for the players to come up and play into the regular seasons, eventually going into the playoffs. So this is just a startup. You know, infamous Spurs coach definitely does not look into this one bit. Popovich himself does not care. He won't play his guys if he doesn't want to. If he feels like it, he'll go out and play his starters. Kawhi Leonard did play in their first preseason game against the Suns, had 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. They ended up losing by 5. What's this mean? Pop doesn't care. You know, he was the only one of their Tony Parker didn't play. Manu Ginobili didn't play. Paul Gasol didn't play. Green, the shooter, didn't play. So a bunch of names, like I said, LaMarcus Aldridge for the Spurs. You know, this doesn't mean anything to the coaches. Popovich especially has been a voice of, you know, who cares about these games. These are for the players to get their chemistry down, get the feel of the court, and basically for the fans to see the preseason, to start up the regular season and give them a little taste of what they're going to be seeing. On the topic of the Spurs, this was the first game in 20 years where Tim Duncan was not on the roster, which is a crazy fact. You know, like we talked about him last week being in the organization and being a crazy mentor to people. That's something that was kind of missing, you know, to fans. this past game of seeing Tim Duncan not being able to see him on the court with his fellow teammates. So the first games appeared on October 1st with the Warriors facing the Raptors. Raptors won 97-93, like I said. Key performers in there, Damari Carroll had 14, 4, and 4 steals. I really like Damari Carroll. You know, people have been down on his game because he was talking a little bit of smack on LeBron last year in the playoffs, saying he's going to shut him down, he's going to shut them down, and they're down 3-0 or 2-0 in the series to LeBron. People just wanted him to shut up and play, and my thing was he was trying to give himself some motivation. Maybe it gave LeBron a little bit of fire that he didn't need, but I think he's a very good player, very good role player in a sense. You know, he knows what he has to do, does what it takes for the team to get the W, and he puts his body on the line. He's a very hard worker. Let's see, looking at his come stats from the past game, he only played 19 minutes. You know, most starters only play around 20 minutes. DeRozan playing 20 minutes was 3-11 from the field, and they still got the win, which is good for Toronto. Ended up with 11 points, but back to Carroll, he had 14 points, was 6-for-9 from the field, 1-for-3 from threes, 4 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 turnovers. He's going to be a key for the Raptors' success this year with Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan in the backcourt, those two superstars themselves, Valanciunas in the middle. It's going to be good. It's going to be key for Damari Carroll to find his rhythm early and to find it a consistent flow of it, so he's able to get onto the floor and see himself playing valuable minutes that can eventually help this team go to another playoff run and eventually lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers once again. Other games, Pelicans faced the Mavericks. Key performers from that was Buddy Hield. And fans should be hyped with this. Buddy Hield was top 10 draft pick, or right outside the top 10 draft pick, actually. And he played well. He shot the ball well, 8-for-12 from the field, 19 points. He's going to be a key in their offense this year. Definitely want him to get his amount of shots up. Definitely want him to be aggressive. And I saw him working out. He's working out in a facility this summer, Anaheim Sports Center, with they have about 30 plus gyms, and he was just blasting music, and he shot for about 2 hours right before his workout, his actual workout of getting, you know, sets in, shots up, running, conditioning. He was just shooting around on the side courts 2 hours, you know, like it's nothing, blaring music. And I'm interested in seeing what his game has to say this upcoming year, because it's going to be a huge year for the New Orleans Pelicans. A big year for Buddy Hield himself. He stayed in college for 4 years. Most players don't do that. You know, they go straight after 1 year, or if they can, they can go after 2 years. With the new rule being that college basketball players have to stay in college for at least 1 year, he stayed the maximum amount of 4 years, and most players don't see doing that. And it's good to see him being successful, because that will maybe help younger players say, maybe this degree is important and I should stay around, because, you know, after basketball, there's not going to be much. And a lot of players do make that wrong decision of going too early and ending up on the back burner, not getting enough time, not receiving what they want. So it's going to be good to see what he can do. And how he can impact this organization at such a young age, being a veteran of college basketball and a newcomer to the NBA, it's going to be very fun to see what he has to offer. So those were the first games that tipped off on Saturday, October 1st. October 2nd tipped off with the Rockets playing a team from Shanghai. James Harden went off. As you can see, it was 131-94. The game was a high-paced, high-scoring. James Harden played 29 minutes, the highest of any starter I've seen the past couple days with the preseason tipping off. A key performer for the other team If some of you guys know his name, Jimmer Fredette was 11 for 26 from the field, just launching it. However, he had 33 points, so he's trying to get a name for himself and probably trying to make his way back into the NBA. And they lost, eventually losing by 34, 35 points. But him having 33 points, 8 rebounds, 8 assists is a good stat line for him, you know, especially being on a team with, you know, not American people and something different to him, which segues into my kind of next topic of the preseason being overseas and how that reflects on the NBA. First of all, preseason in overseas hasn't been something that the NBA is used to. It's kind of new to the system. You know, they kind of not necessarily stole the idea from the NFL, but the NBA is very, very active in their organizations outside of just themselves. You know, they want to be sponsors of different people. They want to always consistently grow. And with David Stern stepping down, you know, it gave them a good opportunity to elaborate what they have to offer. And actually, them being overseas, what does this do for the game? You know, what does this mean for the NBA? Basically, it gives them more exposure to NBA fans, more exposure to cities overseas. Definitely helps kids that are watching potentially not in America, in the U.S., not in the U.S., and give them a goal to kind of set themselves a standard to. Cool little neat story is Manu Ginobili. I don't know if you guys saw when he was playing in the Olympics this past year. This was declared as his last Olympics, so they kind of did a little recap on him. And he was one of those younger guys from Argentina. Poor kid, grew up with mother and father supporting him, always working for what he wanted. And he saw these Olympic games and said, I want to play against the best guys in the world, and those best guys in the world are in the NBA. So that gave him a goal, gave the kid a dream to go out and play professionally and exceed the expectations of not only playing in Argentina and being a professional, but I'm going to take it to the highest standard, and I'm going to go across overseas into the United States and become one of the best basketball players to play the game. And that just gives him, you know, a recent story with Porzingis going to the Knicks. He was another guy coming from a difficult background, not in the U.S., had a dream, sees guys coming over to the NBA, sees that it's the best talent in the world, and he gave himself a dream. And that's what's really neat about the preseason being in other countries and giving him a little bit more exposure, is fans from all over can enjoy the game. Fans from all over can give themselves that dream to play somewhere. And it's going to be great for the game, especially as we open up with more seasons to come. You know, it's going to be great seeing what they have to offer and overseas, what they can do for the NBA, especially, you know, with finances and helping with that. But the scores from yesterday, which we're going to segue, is this Thunder and Real Madrid, which was crazy game, went into overtime. It was 142-137 with the Thunder losing. You know, this is one of the games where not many overseas teams can beat the NBA teams. Like I said, you know, it's the top performers of the world. And with the Thunder losing, it kind of gives them a shock and kind of a scare without seeing Kevin Durant. You know, were people scared now, or are people kind of hesitant on the Thunder? You know, it's hard to say. It's very hard to say because, you know, Victor Oladipo had a great game, 34 points, only playing 33 minutes. Westbrook had 22 minutes and scored 18 points. Another big key guy for the Thunder, which this year, is Andre Robertson, which he had a great year last year, stepping up to the plate in the playoffs, you know, making shots. He wasn't known as a shooter. He's known as a lockdown defender. and him making shots in the playoffs kind of helped their run go a bit further. But Andre Robinson only had 6 points, and he definitely needs to be a bigger factor if this, you know, if this club wants to continue and be another contender for the finals. You know, definitely they said Westbrook is the upcoming favorite to win the MVP, obviously because, you know, of Kevin Durant leaving. But they have to have their key pieces do some work. You know, Steven Adams, Sabonis, who they just added, Rudy Fernandez, they all have to do their part. And with Victor Oladipo having 34 points off of 24 shots is a good amount of shots. But having 34 points, hopefully that gives Westbrook a little sense that he has some people to go to battle with, and he knows that he can count on some other guy to score when they need it, or to get a stop when they need it. So what does this mean for Thunder fans again? You know, nothing too in particular. Don't look into it too much. It's just a preseason game, very high scoring game, which means, you know, your team is very offensively set in a sense. But, you know, losing to Real Madrid is not something you want on your record, or something that we could, you know, hang your hats on. Definitely. Other scores from yesterday, October 3rd, the Bucks squeezed away the win with the Bulls, 93-91. Top performers of that game: Greg Monroe had 15 points, 9 rebounds, center for Milwaukee. Has been a very good presence of a post the past years. For the Bulls, their top performer was Taj Gibson. He had 11 and 12, which is a double-double, 12 rebounds. You know, and looking down at other scores, the Grizzlies squeezed away a 102-97 Magic win. Top performers was Evan Fournier, which is a guard favorite of mine. 18 points, 2 assists. Just really like his game. Really smooth. Doesn't really force too much. Kind of goes after the offense. Crashes defensive boards, really good active player. Spurs ended up losing to the Suns, like I stated before, 91-86. Pop is a guy who I kind of like a lot in the league, being a coach and just the way he presents himself. He doesn't care about these games at all. He doesn't look into them. Like I said, he didn't play half of his starters, so that means, you know, he's really not concerned. The Jazz ended up losing to the Trailblazers 98-89. Top performance from that game was Alan Crabtree for the Portland Trailblazers, which they need him to have a good year if they want to be successful. Damian Lillard started for them, had 16 off of 6 and 12 shots. But he recently came out with a statement saying that he would never join a superstar team, in a sense of what Kevin Durant did and how other players are doing this. He came out with a statement, bold statement, saying, "I would never do something like that. You know, that puts more pressure on you to win. More people want you to win," which I agree with, but I don't think it was the right timing for him to say something like this, especially right going into the year. You can't be concerned about off-court factors, what the media is saying, what they're talking about, especially when it has to deal with you. And there's a lot of pressure for Damian Lillard and this upcoming season to hold the Portland Trailblazers and to get them into the playoffs to where they were at a couple years ago with him in LA, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's currently with the Spurs. So it was a very bold statement by him saying that I would never do this, because now it just puts more limelight and target on himself. You know, and he has to back it up with performances night after night of doing stuff, of, you know, carrying the team. Another key performer was that game was not Plumlee. C.J. McCollum had 11 and 5 assists. He's going to be needed to play very well. He's the most improved player of the NBA last year. Had a standout season, went from like averaging 11 points to almost 20 points a game. So they're going to need him to do well. But that wraps up the preseason. You know, tonight's games, let's see the schedule for tonight. Tuesday, October 4th, we have the Celtics playing the 76ers, which is currently started. We're going to talk about that and Joel Embiid's return in a little bit. And we have the Heat versus the Wizards, which is currently underway. Heat are up 21-14, 5:35 remaining in the first quarter. And the awaited Knicks are to be seen. Derrick Rose will play in today's game versus the Rockets. We have the Pacers versus the Pelicans. Kings versus the Lakers. Laker fans, be on the lookout. And we have the Warriors facing the Clippers tonight at 7:30. Big games underway. It's gonna be a fun preseason and even better regular season. And I'm excited, you know, to see what this season has to offer. Don't forget, you're listening to DJ Duncan on the Bounce Tuesdays 4 to 5. You're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. We're gonna go to a short commercial break and we'll be right back. We're back. This is DJ Duncan. You're on the Bounce Tuesdays 4 to 5. Tune in on radio.dominican.edu. Quick shout out to that guitarist. Wow, he was killing it. You know, I had to turn down my headphones a little bit because it's getting a little too crazy in here. But quick shout out to the Tuesday DJs. You're not doing anything on Tuesday afternoon. Why not listen to Penguin Radio? We have from 1 to 2, What's Shaking with DJ Cheeks. We have from 2 to 3, Fresh Take with DJ Gaines. Right before me is Where's the Beef with DJ Beefcake. All great shows right before me. And afterwards, we have Ball is Life with DJ Radical and DJ Smooth from 5 to 6. Then we have Study Time from 6 to 7 with DJ KP. And Combo Breaker from 7 to 8 with DJ 1 Up. And that's our shows for Tuesdays. You know, check on our website, Penguin Radio, to see the other days and the other time slots that people are going to be on air. Well, back to the topics. we're going to be talking about LeBron James endorsing Hillary Clinton. Came out publicly. You know, who is LeBron James? Father figure to the NBA. Recent NBA champion, defeating the Warriors down 3-1. No one has ever done that before. Great man himself. I haven't met him, but I did see him actually in Vegas one time. He was going to a club, and I was probably in freshman year, eighth grade. And I yelled, LeBron James is my favorite player. If you guys haven't got the hints that I kind of take jabs at Warrior fans and Kevin Durant trade, and also the Cleveland Cavaliers winning the championship. But he's been my favorite player since a young age, you know, being in a generation where he's coming up. I saw him in Vegas. He was with Chris Paul and Dwayne Wade. I don't know, probably eighth grade, freshman year, outside with a bunch of friends, you know, because I knew he was going to be here. I remember shouting, King James, King James, King James. And he pointed at me, which was one of the craziest moments of my life, probably. Definitely, because he's a great man. Anyways, back to the topic. Who is LeBron James? He's a father figure of the NBA. Definitely one of the guys who, you know, carries himself in a very respectful way. He's a father of two boys, has a wife, high school sweetheart, you know, just a very good person who you want to represent your organization. And he came out recently with statements that he's endorsing Hillary Clinton. You know, well, Hillary Clinton, we're not talking about politics. We're going to talk about it for a little bit. Hillary Clinton being endorsed by LeBron James, what does this mean? First of all, he said, I believe in what President Obama has done for our country and support her commitment to continuing that legacy. He said, there's still a lot of work to be done in Akron, Northeast Ohio, and all across our great country. We need a president who understands our community and will build on the legacy of President Obama. So let's register to vote, show up to the polls, and vote for Hillary Clinton. You know, crazy kind of bold statement. You don't really see NBA players endorsing presidents. You know, like I said earlier, with the whole Colin Kaepernick thing, all these racial and really hard times that are happening, you know, for him to step up and say something like this is kind of huge and kind of a game changer in a sense of politics, how they publicize their stuff, and the NBA and how they are intertwined with politics, and they're still people of the United States. You know, they're still citizens. They still have to pay taxes. They still have to do everything else. They're just kind of famous. You know, James is one of the most well-known basketball players in the United States, currently playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers, one of the most endorsed athletes in Ohio. He is the man. You know, when he left Ohio, it was heartbreaking. And when he returned, you know, even though people burned his jerseys and everything, they accepted him back because of how much he means to a franchise, to an organization, to a state. You know, we've seen it with players, you know, Kobe Bryant with the Lakers. You know, they're big on organization, have tremendous amount of kind of leeway, and, you know, people are going to look up to them. He said, Hillary has always been a champion for children and their futures. For over 40 years, she's been working to improve public schools, expand access to health care, support children's hospitals, and so much more. You know, this is crazy because Ohio is actually a very important state to win in the presidential race. Known as a swing state, last three presidential elections, it has whatever candidate they have chosen has eventually went on to win the presidency. So this is a very big state. Clinton is going to be spending some time there in upcoming days, you know. And to Akron, she actually has something that she's going to be doing in Akron, which James says he wouldn't be present in. But, you know, he's endorsing her, and that's huge to Ohio. I think this is going to give Hillary Clinton a bit of leeway for the Ohio State in winning it because of his presence and what he can do to, you know, the community itself, you know, and just by saying that I saw that 2 days ago and was like, wow, kind of looked at it, read the article. He came out with a whole spiel on op-ed and posted by Business Insider of his statements on the Clinton running for president and how and why he endorses him. So I think it's huge for Ohio, big for Hillary Clinton. You know, she has to be cheesing, you know, from ear to ear, because, you know, this is huge for her. Definitely to get Ohio is a much needed state. And it was crazy to see, you know, an NBA player do that. So next topic, we're going to be talking about Joel Embiid and his return to the NBA. Joel Embiid was a first round draft pick, the third, in fact, of the 2014 NBA draft, but he was sidelined for the last two seasons after two surgeries on his right foot. This is very disappointing news for 76er fans. 76ers was the one who selected him in the 2014 draft. But he, you know, it'll be his first game playing tonight. I'm trying to get the story, what he's doing right now for you guys. But actually, you know, beforehand, you know, the coach Brett Brown said on Tuesday's shoot-around, you know, that he has a 12-minute budget. He's probably only going to spend that 12 minutes in the first half and see, you know, see what he's likely to do, because the big question was, how many minutes is he going to play? How many minutes will he be allowed to play? And he had a bone graft surgery to repair a bone in his right foot in August 2015, and the former Kansas standout has already missed what it would be his rookie season after undergoing a surgery in June 2014 to repair a stress fracture in the same bone. You know, this set back his recovery and led to the 2015 operation in August. So this is big for Joel Embiid. He's kind of a goofy guy. I don't know if you've heard of him or seen him on Twitter, but not really. I wouldn't say he cares. Not really saying that he doesn't care, but he's kind of a goofy guy. Likes to goof around with players of the league, seeing what happens. So actually, right now he does have 4 points, and he is 2 for 5, with them being down 25-15 to Boston in the first quarter. It's just the end of the first, so you know he was actually the last. He made a 23-foot jumper for the last play with a second left of the first quarter. So he's started off good. Good news here. Always hard to see a fellow NBA player go down with an injury, because you know it's just so tough going through injuries, coming back from it, having that grind. Definitely is tough to come back from. And he's all the best of luck to him. When I was reading the statements of him going to be, you know, a presence in his first game, you know, I kind of thought 12 minutes isn't a lot of time. You think, you know, 40-minute games, 12 minutes, it's less than half. You know, you want to see what he can do with a little bit more time. Definitely don't think 12 minutes is enough to rate him or critique him on his game. You know, you want to have at least a half to do something. But, you know, a Twitter update said Embiid blocks a dunk and pumps his fist in excitement. So it means he's doing good, doing well, fully recovered, which is the main thing that the Sixers wanted to focus on. They didn't want him to just throw him out there and say, you know, see if you're 100%. They wanted him to be 100% before he went out, which is potentially why they're limiting him to 12 minutes. They don't want him to overdo it, which is understandable, but I kind of want to see what he could do and with a little bit more amount of time. Talking on injuries, big news, Ben Simmons is going to go under foot surgery. He underwent foot surgery, and this is huge because Ben Simmons was the first draft pick for the 76ers. 76ers have had bad luck the past years with draft picks. You know, they've been in the draft lottery for how many plus years, and they haven't gotten one guy that could be said to be a franchise name player. I think they really messed up when they didn't draft Jahlil Okafor in the previous draft. They selected Jahlil Okafor and didn't select D'Angelo Russell because they had so many bigs. They've drafted Joel Embiid, just drafted Ben Simmons. So why not go for a guard like D'Angelo Russell, who's having somewhat of a good to great year? You know, had some problems with the coaching staff over there with the Lakers, but it was weird that they picked him because the past 3 years that they selected a big, they've been a bust. And, you know, the Sixers can't go for another bust in these upcoming years because, you know, fans are getting rowdy. Fans are starting to, you know, voice their concerns on the organization and what they could do. So that's definitely going to be tough for the 76ers. And with Ben Simmons, you know, undergoing a surgery for a fracture return, they're not giving a timeable return, which leaves fans on their edge of their seats once again. Once again, they have to be very cautious with the number one overall pick. I don't think he's going to be out for the season. It's hard to say because of Kevin Durant. It's the same injury that Kevin Durant had, which kept Kevin Durant out for most of the 2014-2015 season. His agent of Ben Simmons has said he's not going to come back until he's 100%. So this is tough for Philadelphia 76ers fans to hear. Definitely they want to see this guy on the court. They want to see him in his healthiest form, but they don't want to wait. And they can't wait in regards, you know, they've been in a hole the past how many decades of only making it to the playoffs a couple of times, and they haven't really had a glory years of making it to the championship, you know, since the beginning of basketball. And it's tough. It's definitely tough to see this guy going through something like this. Had an amazing offseason, went from about 200 pounds to 250, which is unheard of. You know, they're definitely feeding him something. Definitely got the NBA linked to something because that's a crazy amount of weight to gain within 2-3 months. So with him being out, it's going to be hard. Like I said, they're currently down to the Boston Celtics, 17-27, start of the second quarter. We're going to take a quick commercial break, finishing up talking about NBA overseas, who has been successful with it, who hasn't. Kind of a segment from our first segment, talking about basketball overseas and what it can do to the NBA. Lastly, we're going to finish up with Harry Giles and his injury, another injury discussion, and Dominican basketball. Finish up with your favorite Pangs. Don't forget, you're listening to DJ Duncan. This is On the Bounce. You're listening to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu, and we'll be right back.
So far, it'll do.
we are back for the last segment of the show. This is DJ Duncan. You're listening to On the Bounce on Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. Finishing up the show, we're going to be talking about a little bit about more about overseas and NBA basketball players playing over there. Talking about Harry Giles and his injury, unfortunate injury. Finishing up with your favorite Dominican Pangs and what to expect with the upcoming season. First off, what is overseas basketball? What does it consider? What does it mean to the NBA? Like I said, you know, it's a professional league. There's professional leagues in Mexico. There's professional leagues in Canada. Professional leagues basically in every country and the cities within these countries, just like the NBA has it. But the skill level is not up to par compared to the NBA. Don't get me wrong. There's some ballers overseas. But compared to the NBA, not really competition, which was why it was such a surprise that Real Madrid beat the Thunder in the last preseason scrimmage that they had. So why is there an overseas basketball league? Well, for other countries to have their sort of entertainment from basketball. If you're not good enough to come over to the United States, you eventually play professional basketball in your hometown country. What's weird is most countries, if you're good in high school, we're talking about not United States, we're talking about, let's say, Serbia. Excuse me. If you're good in Serbia as a high school player, you're most likely going to be able to sign a contract that allows you to play professionally and make a check. I went to a prep school after my final year of high school, prep school for basketball. Basically, what I did was I took a year off and worked out. Didn't go to school for a year and just kind of took that 2013 year off to become better in basketball. And a lot of foreign basketball players go there because they want to go to a college in the United States to get their degree, which is good. But most of all of them said, yeah, they've played professionally, because if you're somewhat decent in high school, you're going to get a contract to play. It's nothing that you could live off of it, definitely, but to be comfortable living, to make a good amount of money like these NBA players doing, is no way you're going to be making it overseas. Unless you're one of probably the best, if the MVP of, you know, your league. So it was neat to see their kind of insight, because they could all play professional basketball, but they chose to come to America to play in college and give themselves a better opportunity to live, you know, receiving an education and everything. So why do basketball players, why do you see them sometimes going, you know, back from overseas and coming back and forth? Well, some consider overseas being kind of like the D League of the D League. The D League is a development league, which is intertwined with the NBA, and it gives players to play for teams kind of lower level. It's kind of like a minor league of baseball. And who are some of the top names in the NBA that chose to play overseas, and why do they do it? One of a big one was J.R. Smith, the recent NBA champion with the Cavaliers, who we need to sign ASAP. You know, we just signed, off topic, Cleveland Cavaliers just signed Raymond Felton. We need to sign J.R. Smith. Why aren't we making this a priority? He's not in training camp. We need him there. You know, this is a guy that's kind of a loose cannon. Anyways, he went to China to play basketball because he was kind of a loose cannon in the Denver Nuggets and the New York Knicks, and no one really saw a value for him. So he went and played in China, went off. You know, was scoring a good amount, crazy amount, probably averaged 20 plus. I'm not really sure off the top of my head, but he definitely showed that he's deserving to play in the NBA. And he got a contract, you know, got a contract with the New York Knicks, came back, did well, and eventually left. The New York Knicks actually gave him to the Cleveland Cavaliers in a deal that consisted of Iman Shumpert. They wanted to trade, who was it? They wanted to trade Mozgov and Iman Shumpert, and they said we'll throw J.R. Smith in. LeBron's reaction to that was, you know, he'll throw J.R. Smith in. Like, what? Like, we'll take that guy. I could get that guy, get the guy's head right, and make him be a shooter and a scorer for what he was in the playoffs last year. So overseas kind of gives that these NBA players a second chance in a sense of going and making able to play for an organization, able to play for a team, make some money while you're still doing it, and still become in shape and eventually work your way back to the NBA. Some of the top names that have flip-flopped back and forth from NBA and overseas right now, I'm going to give you Serbian center Nedad Krstić, you know, flip-flop between the NBA and international leagues, but he's definitely proven to be a valuable and skilled player throughout his career. He is a 7-footer, so something you can't teach, being tall, can't teach that, but he has skills and he has a valuable size. He passively played with the Nets, was the 24th pick in the 2002 draft, was a part of the team with Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin, and he played for Oklahoma and Boston, but he briefly returned to Russia just, you know, because that's something was probably better for him. You know, they may have offered him a good amount of money and a good living situation, but he went back and forth, you know, and now he's with a Turkish team, Anadolu Efes, and he will be there for the next couple years. And this is something where you can't really explain why he likes being overseas more, maybe more of his culture, but he's a notable name that has flip-flopped from the NBA back and forth. Teams are very interested in signing him because, like I said, he's a 7-foot skilled man, skillful player, and you can't really teach that. Another basketball career that began in the Italian league, Saša Vujačić, name that most of you guys would probably recognize, being with the Lakers and playing alongside Kobe Bryant, winning 2 championships, moved to the Nets right afterwards, and then he went back to overseas. Returned briefly to attend a contract for the Clippers, but now he plays for an Istanbul team in the Turkish league. Still offers valuable shooting, experience as an NBA champion, makes him an asset for any kind of team that's trying to recruit him. But like you said, you know, he's more comfortable with overseas, probably likes the culture a little bit more, may turn out for him a bit well. Another Los Angeles Laker that has been flip-flopping is Jordan Farmar. Was a UCLA product, went to the Lakers in the 2006 draft, played for 4 years, won two championships with Saša Vujačić. Was a key bench player for this Lakers in this run. He went on to playing for the Nets, and then he signed a deal with Anadolu Efes, just like Vujačić. You know, it's weird. He came back in 2013 for the Clippers, scored a career high 30 points actually, but he still failed to gel with his team, which led him to seeking overseas once again. Signed with the Turkish team in 2015, hoping one day that he could return to the NBA probably. Last name that I'm going to give you guys is Andrei Kirilenko, fan favorite for myself, Russian forward, was been a part of the Utah Jazz, NBA All-Star, made an All-NBA defensive first player team, was playing for a team in Moscow when he was younger. He actually became the youngest European player to be drafted when he was selected by the Jazz for the 24th pick in the 1999 draft, and he was a presence for the Jazz. He did give them some wins, helped them play to their fullest ability, and you know, he was a presence that most people know who he is, especially when you mention his name. He returned to Russia, where he was named the EuroLeague MVP. Then he came back to the NBA, played with the Timberwolves and Nets. Injuries and personal problems stopped him from you know, being himself like he was with the Utah Jazz, and he now has returned to CSKA Moscow and probably won't see him back again in the NBA. So that's just a couple of players that have flip-flopped from overseas and the NBA, probably why they did it, you know, who knows, personal problems. You know, maybe they felt that that was the best decision for them at that time needed. But it's a tough decision, and when a team doesn't want you, you know, you say, I'll take my talent somewhere else, and I'll play over here, and I'll make money doing the same thing. So respect to those guys. Definitely hard to play overseas, come back to the NBA, go back and play. It's, your mind is in 100 different places. You know, how can you do something like that? So finishing up with our topics, Harry Giles, a Duke top prospect, has actually is undergoing his third knee surgery since 2013. This is scary sights for the Duke fans. Don't worry, you guys have a bunch of other NBA top prospects, but this was projected as being almost a number one draft pick. And you know, why, what does this mean? Does this knock him off his draft picks? Yes, because, you know, people are so quick to critique and so quick to criticize of what he can do in the NBA without even playing, seeing him play with the Duke is unheard of. First of all, you know, let the guy play a college basketball game before you start ranking him. And then if he tears his knee, unfortunately he did, you know, how are you just going to knock him completely off the list? Doesn't really make sense to me. You know, knee injuries are hard, especially he had one injury. This is his right knee that's actually currently hurting him, and he's had surgeries on both knees. So it's not in a sense of getting one knee straight. It's getting both knees straight while also fixing, you know, your hips, your ankle mobility, all things that could lead to prevention of injury before, you know, another injury, you know, knock on wood, happens. You know, you don't want to see that with a basketball player. Definitely a top prospect like Harry Giles himself, and it's tough. So lastly, we're going to be finished up with your Dominican Pengs. How are we doing right now? Dominican Penguins men's basketball is just currently running, having a great time doing it, very enthusiastic. You know, I know the girls, the women's team is doing the same, getting their conditioning right. Shout out DJ Cheeks, holding that squad down. And something to be on the lookout for, Dominican Midnight Mayhem is upcoming October 14th. What is that? You know, it's a chance to see all the sports teams here at Dominican kind of display their talents, who's on their team and who has the best dance moves. Also a chance to, you know, show students, you know, match them with faces to names of the teams and see these people that they see around campus all the time, knowing that they're on a sports team and what are the days to go out and support them. So October 14th, Midnight Mayhem, I believe it starts at around 10 p.m. is usually when it goes. I'll keep that updated next week on our next show. But this week's been a great show. Looking forward to it. It's going by fast. Already on my third show. Can't wait to see you guys next week at Tuesday, 4 p.m. I will be here, and you will be listening. Don't forget, you're listening to DJ Duncan. This is On the Bounce. This year, listen to Penguin Radio on radio.dominican.edu. I hope all you guys have a blessed day.